the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So how many of you are seeing this space for the first time? It's shocking, isn't it? It's good, but it's shocking. I mean, it is. We were hopeful that we'd brighten the place up a little. I think we succeeded. Amen. It is a glorious day, a great day to return to our space of worship. And it's interesting to return to something. So I'm returning from a journey. I've been on quite a journey. At some point I will figure out how to explain it to you over a period of time. But it is one of those journeys that changes you. Getting to this place in this space was a journey, I promise you. Kristen will attest to that. But sometimes we return from a journey and maybe we're not as thrilled with the result or what we find. So I managed to stay disconnected as best as I could. Not hard. Airplane mode's super helpful on your cell phone. The fact that everybody on TV speaks a language you don't know is also helpful. Being in a country that is flooded with tourists and their primary goal is to make sure that when you leave they have your money keeps you out of all the stuff that's really going on. And I returned to our country and I was a little concerned. Things don't look so good at the moment. And I thought, well, let's just leave that alone. And then I decided I couldn't. It's interesting to return and discover that things are going in a very different direction than you imagine they might be. Here they're going great, by the way, so thank you for that. But the world itself seems a little confusing. It feels like there's a lot of frustration and anger going on. You know, anger is a little something I'm familiar with. Just for fun, I Googled stereotype of Irishmen. No, it didn't say they were short. However, it did say they were short-tempered or hot-tempered, eager for physical confrontation. And I thought, well, other than the physical confrontation, I'm a little beyond that. But I remember growing up, you know, you grow up in an Irish Catholic household. And we were always told that a problem was we had an Irish temper. So we were constantly reminded that we need to be in control of our Irish temper. It took me a few years, but I'm pretty much there, for the most part. Yeah. She won't report to you, I promise, but I'm pretty mild these days. Most people who know me know that. But I understand the reality of being frustrated and maybe overstepping a line. And as I returned to our country, I thought, what's happened here? This is not who we are. And then I sat with what Paul has to say in Romans, and I thought, I think he has a little something to say about it, these first two verses in chapter 5. He goes, therefore, since we are justified by faith, let's clarify that. We are justified by our faith, not by our political understandings and our opinions. We are not justified in those. We are justified in faith. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Rome to say this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it looks like. This is the teaching. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. That's who we are. That's how we're called to walk. This is how Paul is describing the church to the church. Just happens to be a church he hasn't been to yet. But he wants to make sure they understand the fullness of what it means to be a follower. And I thought to myself, with my own frustrations and what I see and what's going on, I thought maybe this would be a good day for us to, I don't know, review just for a moment. What does it mean to be a follower of this Jesus? What really justifies us? And it is only through him. And he continues on about the struggles. And not only, after he says we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. He didn't say sharing in the glory of God. It is our job to share the glory of God, which should give us some indication of our behaviors and how we could move in the midst of struggle. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So when we're in the midst of a struggle, I would say suffering, but we're not really suffering greatly, are we? Most of us are not. There may be people around us that are suffering, and we feel like maybe we should suffer on their behalf, but it's a little bit different. But we can also recognize that in that, we can endure, and the endurance will produce character. The character it should produce when we are doing this to the glory of God will be a Christ-like character. And when we let that happen and we grow deeper into our understanding of Christ, then we can boast in the glory of God, and we can find hope, and we can share the hope. If we decide that we need to be on one side or the other and it isn't of God, we're just joining what's happening. We're not enduring in the midst of what's happening. Do you hear the difference? We're called to endure. Yes, it's a mess. Yes, I know. Yes, I can see it. Yes, I can feel it. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it can make me angry. And you can choose whatever side you want, but the one thing I can tell you for sure is there is only one true side to choose, and that side is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That is where the hope will come. The rest is just the world. Jesus doesn't reign in this world yet. Read closely what this book says. The evil one is still reigning here until he comes again. Jesus doesn't reign in the world. Jesus reigns in the hearts of his people. Amen? Amen? And the heart of his people need to be towards him, most especially when the world is going sideways around us. That is when we must endure. That is when we must grow in character. That is where we must find the hope in Christ, so that we can witness to the glory of God to a world that is desperately in need of hope and seeing the glory of God. Amen? I mean, we need to seriously look at the reality that 5 years ago this world shifted. Something happened none of us, I thought, would ever consider happening in our lives. This world shifted. A worldwide pandemic swept through all of our households. Amen? All that security that we had, that understanding that we somehow had control, and we're suddenly sitting in our houses and wiping down the groceries. Amen? Which somebody's dropping at the door, and we're waiting for them to leave. They're like, okay, I dropped them, and we get out there with the Lysol, and we're wiping stuff off and unpacking it in the front yard so it doesn't come into the house, because we don't know where it's been. We lost something. Or did we? See, I think what we gained in the midst of that is an opportunity. And I think the world is struggling to see the opportunity that comes and the reality that God has put us in a place where there's nothing left to hope in and nothing left to trust in but Him. I'm not saying He caused it. I'm saying He's what's left in the fallen, broken world that you can trust in. He is the one thing that has never changed. Amen? This is what we have an opportunity for, because the world is now grasping. Do you see the world grasping for something? This person's grasping for this ideal. This one's grasping for that ideal. And then they can't even see each other anymore. They can't even see each other anymore. The humanity's out of it. Amen? It's you're on that side or you're on this side. That doesn't indicate anything, by the way. Don't start anything. But we could be on the side of Christ. We could hear what Paul is saying. We could hear this reality as he's telling the church what it means to be the church. We can see that what we have available to us is the truth that is found in Christ. We can boast in that understanding. We can grow in that understanding. We can be justified by faith in Him, which is going to change how we address every other aspect of what goes on in this world. See, we can look at it and be afraid of it, or we can look at it and say, I see you're looking for something. I see you're looking for some ideal that is going to change your life. And you are grasping. But in the process of grasping, when you grab your ideal and immediately turn someone into an enemy, that is not of God. Amen? When we are working under the understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit and working and seeking to be grasping our God, being justified in our faith, we will find, what does Paul say? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Opportunity is everywhere. You are going to be talking about what's happening in this world every single day of your life. Amen? And you're going to be wondering, what side is this person on? You're going to be listening for the key words. Amen? Tell me I'm wrong. You're going to be waiting. Which side are they on? What if we don't wait to find out? What if we tell them we're on the side of Christ? What if we tell them that we know from His Word that there are going to be struggles like this in this world until He comes? But there's hope. There is hope because we can endure it. And we can grow in the character of Christ in the midst of it. And we can find hope where it is so hard to find hope or even see a hint of hope. But it's there. If we say it's not, then we're saying God isn't here. You see, church, there is a way to move. When we're in the midst of a struggle, when we're in the midst of anything that is pressing in, anything that is challenging us, any time in which we are suffering, when we find ourselves in the midst of that, it shouldn't take us away from Christ. It should draw us to Him so that we can endure it, so that we can grow in His character, and so that we can find hope. The world is in need of hope. You may have noticed, amen? Amen. You saw it. Where is it coming from? Where's it going to come from? Washington, D.C.? I was just there, too. It's not there. There is only one true hope left. There has always only ever been one true hope. We are just now at a time in the world where that hope should be glaringly obvious. And it will be when the church remembers Paul's teaching, enters the struggle and the suffering, endures in the midst of it. builds up in the character of Jesus Christ, and then the hope will be. You see, we need to pull in, not away. We need to pull together, not separate. Hold your opinions, hang on to your thoughts, but don't put them above the one true God that you proclaim to be Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is our opportunity. This is our time. This is the moment when we can stand in a world that is lost and confused and grasping for anything that feels like it has meaning, and we can stand calmly in the midst of it and say, I know what will bring you the peace you are looking for. We can be the church in the midst of all that. And we can watch the world change around us. You can say I'm wrong if you'd like, but I challenge you to go prove it. Brothers and sisters, the world around us is acting out of brokenness and frustration and anger. It is our opportunity to be different. It is our opportunity to endure with the world. I'm not telling you we lock ourselves in here and pretend it isn't happening. Don't hear that. We need to step into the suffering. We need to endure in it and let the character of Christ grow up in us so that the hope and the glory of God can be seen in all of it. He finishes with verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. It is time. It is time for us, church, to hear it, to boast in our hope, and a hope that we will be able to share the glory of God. Amen.